Hey, let's go over to Ephesians 3:20. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Ephesians, who wrote it? Pastor John's favorite. Pastor John loves the Apostle Paul, doesn't he? Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Ephesians 3:20, you know it. We call it E320 because it's so popular. Casey Stone started that with us. Get an E320. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him. What's that there for? Well, he finishes it in the next verse. Unto him be the glory in the church. Okay, unto him be the glory in the church. Glory be to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Glory to God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. He's able to do more than what you're thinking about right now. Amen. You know, we're building a capacity to manifest the word of the Lord for 2020. The word of the Lord from the prophets, or from one of our prophets, says unusual, supernatural, extraordinary provision from God. Brother Jerry. So we're getting there by what our other prophet said, Brother Copeland. He said correction and direction. Correction, taking correction for our spirit, for our soul, for our body. Taking that correction. And I'm willing. I hope you are too. I'm willing to take correction. And I've told you all many times that if I'm wrong about something, I will, I'll tell you. And I'll make the change. One thing I do want to apologize to you for, I think I did this Wednesday night as well, for those of you who sang Stand By Your Man for the rest of the week after I sang it. It was part of the message. Anyway, Amanda came to work and said, Pastor, I'm singing that song in my mind. I said, lift Jesus higher. Okay, so now I've been doing something. I hope you're following the strategy, the Holy Spirit strategy, because the last two services, we've been talking about rightly dividing the word. Okay, you need to go back and listen to those if you haven't. And so what we're talking about, and we're doing this on purpose so that we can be good receivers of this extraordinary, supernatural, unusual provision, spirit, soul, and body. And there's another purpose for it, and I'm going to talk to you about that a little bit today. But we're talking about that. So what we said, just a quick review, we said knowing who the Bible's talking about. The Bible's talking about three different groups of people, the Jews, the church, and the nations. And so you have to know who's being talked, who's being spoken to or about. It's written for you, but it's not always about you or to you. And so we know that the New Testament, the letters are for us, certainly. All of it's good for us. We just need to understand it in the right context. So, and we talked about, knowing true translations, right? How to read things in context. And then we talked about, which I think has helped a lot of people, we talked about knowing the terrain or the culture behind the verses and the letters that are written. If, like, for example, we talked about women being silent in church, and then if you go and study the Apostle Paul, people think, well, he must have hated women. That's not true at all. You go back and find out what was really going on, what he was really addressing because of the terrain or the culture, you'll find out, you know, how things really work, and just the fact that, you know, He actually worked with women. He started the Church of Philippi with women. And so it's not that women aren't leaders, and we went over all that anyway. So that was good. Not a subject that I don't think I've ever even preached on, but I think that example has helped us. Now, so then another thing, just for some of you who may be newer and you're just getting into your Bible, I just want you to know that the italicized words were added by the translator. So you need to decide whether they're actually good for the verse or not. Sometimes they need to be removed because they're not good for the verse. You might always keep in mind that when it says chapter 23 or whatever, that the original writings didn't have chapter breaks. That's just for you to help define what you're looking for. So you have to take that. And also, sometimes there's commas in wrong places. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I tell you today you will be with me in paradise. Okay. So you got to watch out where things are broken up there. So these are things that we need to know, and sometimes they help, sometimes they hinder. So we need to learn to exegete. We need to basically, you need to take the English word and you need to find the real word in the original language. I have this Bible. It's called the Exegesis Bible. And here's an example of what it says. I was going to send it, but I didn't have a chance. It says this: in the beginning, and it says the word God, and then there's a slash, and it says Elohim. You see what it does? So it actually exegetes it, brings it over into the Hebrew. And it says this: created the heavens and the earth was without form, slash, became waste. Now that changes a whole lot of things right there. If you look in the Hebrew, it's tovu bavohu. It was a mess. So things, the earth had been one way, and then the earth had to, and it became another way. The reason behind that, you won't find out until you read the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Isaiah. But prophets actually look forward in time, and they look back in time. So they were, if you go and you read your Bible, the Bible will translate what that meant right there. Okay? Amen. So I went further than I needed to, probably, but you get it. So that Bible actually researches many of the words, and they fill in the right stuff. So there's translation, which is the rendering of a word from one language to another, and then there's transliteration, that is rendering of an alphabet from one language to another. And you're going, "Wait, Pastor, you're getting way too complicated for me." No, there's stuff out there to help you. There's a lot of stuff out there to help you. It's not that hard. And you all are, I call you scriptorians. That's not really a word, but I like it. So you want to study. Now, another important truth for us that we find in our lives, once again, are that Acts and the epistles are what you really want to look into if you want to know who you are. Amen. Amen. And then, feed on the word. Make the word final authority in your life. Amen. Final authority as in, and you say this: if the word says it, that's how, where I'm going. Yeah. It's not, "Well, I don't like that." I was listening to Brother Hagin, and he said he'd actually have people come to him and say, no, I don't accept that. I don't want it to mean that. And he'd say, "Well, brother, that's what it says." You know, so he told several stories like that. I thought it was pretty cute. I like to listen to him a couple of times a week and remind myself of all the wonderful truths. And then let's just say this before we move on in. No word, no faith. No faith, no anointing. No anointing, no burdens removed, no yokes destroyed. Not going to help yourself or people if you don't have word. Amen. So we need to always stick with the word. Amen. And then we need a prayer life. If we're going to build our capacity to receive from God, to know God, we're going to have a prayer life. Prayer is essential. Church, remember, nothing happens unless a human being, mankind, speaks it or prays it on the earth. Religious people have this whole thing wrong. They're like, well, God's just going to do what he wants to do because he's sovereign. Listen, God is sovereign, but he won't go against his word. And he gave the earth to mankind to rule over, dominion. That's in the first book in Genesis. I give you dominion. The blessing that Jesse was talking about is in the first book. The blessing is not something you say before you eat a meal. The blessing is the anointing to prosper in every part of your life. And so, the church, the blessing would have been the gospel if Satan hadn't tempted Adam and Eve and they hadn't fallen. The blessing would have been the gospel. And we would have still taken it around the world. Amen. Hope I'm not overloading you too much, but this is where we need to go. I think you like it. Now, so we need this prayer life if we're going to have supernatural, extraordinary provision for God. So we know that we have this authority in the earth. We know that there's certain things we need to be speaking, confessing, praying, declaring, decreeing, interceding. And I've told you this so many times, but we have to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. We have to be the John Baptist of the day. We have to be the ones that are removing the valleys, removing the hills, so the King of Glory can come in. Words change everything. Words create before they communicate. God created with words first before he ever even started communicating. Amen. And so we are like him, and so we do the same thing. Now, this, I might want to say something else here. Well, I'll wait. Look at John 15:7. Let's talk about prayer for just a moment, and then we're going to go on down and deal with something else. Go real quick. John 15:7. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you're going to ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. By this my Father are herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so will you be my disciples. Bear fruit. Now, look, church, here's another place we need to stay in context, because people just run off with this. Well, you know, we're bearing the fruits of the Spirit, and we're producing fruit. Six people got saved this week, and so we're producing fruit. And this is talking about something specific in this context. Read that line once again. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. In herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God wants you to have the joy of answered prayer. He wants your prayers answered. The joy of answered prayer. The fruit here is the answered prayer. The fruit produced is the fruit of what you said. So you're going to have a prayer life if you're going to get things done. And I know that most of you here don't, it's just not life about you. There's so much going on in this world that we need to pray for. There's people that we need to pray for. There's lives that need to be changed. And of course, you and your family and their children and their children. Praise the Lord. And so we need to do that. But it's the joy of answered prayer. And so we will have these things as we pray them, but we're going to have to pray them. And I would say this to you, that you understand that prayer is not you trying to get God's attention or to get him to do something. Prayer is you finding out God's will and releasing it in the earth. But what about what I want? Well, your wants are in there. The promises are all in here. It is the will of God for you to prosper. It is the will of God for you to be healed. It is the will of God. Amen. Amen. It's the will of God for your relationships to be good. Yes. Praise the Lord. And so all these promises are there. Now, let's get back to this verse. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So he's able to do it according to the power that's working in you. So is the power working in you? Listen, the answer is yes. You have Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Holy Spirit is working right now in you and for you. He's expelling the evil, purifying, refining the affections, the desires, implanting good in you. He's working in you if you let him. I would say that possibly there are Christians that the power isn't working in because they don't let him do anything. But you do. You want it. You want him to move in you. You want change. You'll take the correction. You'll take the direction. You want him to do something. The fact that you're here right now. The fact that you would come to a church like this where we're not fooling around. The fact that you would be here. You could have slept in today. But you value this. You value this. If you don't value it, you would have gone fishing or stayed home and slept today. But what you show what you value by what you do. And you value the word. You're here. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is working on the inside of you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's able to do all of this because according to the scripture in Ephesians that you were just looking at, the scripture tells us that we are to be rooted and grounded. Be rooted. Be rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Love. We're called to be rooted and grounded in love. But I want you to know something about the scripture there. It says to be rooted and grounded with all the saints. Come on. Rooted and grounded with all the saints. So this is where I want to add something to this. So we're looking at all these ways that we're going to build our capacity. We're looking at all these ways that we are being set up to do these things. I want to study this one more thing and I pray that you'll get out of it what you need to get out of it. Help us, Lord. So you are studying to show yourself approved. You have a prayer life. You have understanding about that prayer life. Would you say that God's will is important to you? Just truthfully, is it, or do you like to make your own plans and then see if God? No, you do. You care about that. I think we're way up in the 90% on that around here. We want to do God's will. Now, doing God's will is not for earning purposes. We're not doing God's will to earn. He loves you now. He accepts you now. He doesn't like all of any of our behavior, but he loves us. You don't like all of your children's behavior. I don't like some of your children's behavior. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm kidding. But God loves us. Just like you love your babies. Just like I love your babies. I don't care if they're perfect or not. I love them. I'm like to whoop some of them, but no, I'm not just kidding. No. I do. I love, but God loves you. He loves you. So this is not for earning purposes. This is what it's for. God's will is there to lead you. Just like your GPS leads you. Take this path. This is what we're going to do. This is what will work for us. This is the plan. It's a plan. God's will is a plan. And the plan isn't to send you somewhere that you'll hate.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all forgive me. I was kidding about your babies now. Y'all know I was. It's the cats we have to deal with. Now, I'm kidding, Ronnie. I want to show you something in this, though. Just not kidding around anymore, but I just want to show you something about this. Look at Ephesians 4:1. We're not earning, but look what the Apostle Paul tells us to do here. So it's not a suggestion. This is what he's saying. Okay. Here's God's will. Okay. So we're going to talk about here's God's will right here. You there? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Okay. Now, immediately, because of the translation. Everybody goes, oh, vocation. Okay, I'm in real estate. Okay, I own a restaurant. Okay, I'm a salesman. Okay, oh, salesman. We got a lot of salesmen, you know. Or I'm in ministry. Okay, whatever it is, you know, I have my own business. I'm a shoe salesman, whatever it is, people, this is my, that's not the word here. That scripture says walk worthy of your calling. Walk worthy of your calling. So now you're like, well, I don't know what my calling is. Am I called to the ministry or what it is? Well, it tells you right there. It tells you what your calling is. It is a free invitation to become a child and to work in his family. Amen. If you go back and read it and go down the context, you'll see that that's what he's saying. Look at verse 2. Be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other and lovingly accept each other. Through the peace that ties you together, do your best to maintain the unity that the Spirit gives. There's one body and one Spirit. In the same way, you were called to share one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over everything, through everything, and in everything. Your calling is to stay close to the family and keep us one. It's true. Keep unity. That's our calling. Keep unity. We are to be one. That's our calling. Now, I didn't say agree on everything. I said just keep the unity. Amen. Obviously, with the people watching and then the people here, you know, there may be 100 different opinions. And opinions have no authority anyway. But there may be different thoughts on doctrines or what the Bible means, but that shouldn't matter to us. There are some things that we all would like for people to understand, the authority of the believer, the truth about different things about Jesus, things like that, because there are people who believe stuff that isn't right. But, you know, we all have something to learn. Amen. Because we don't know everything. But that's why we're working on it. Now, someone might say, well, my calling is outside the church. Now, that's a devil lie. It is absolutely a devil lie that you think your calling is outside the church. You are a member of the body. My little finger is not called away from me. You are part of the body of Christ. Here's the truth about that. You are called outside of the church, everybody, and you are called inside of the church, everybody. We're called to keep the unity, we're called to one another, and we're called to the lost. It's all the truth. The excuse is that people don't want to have to go get along with a local church. It's the truth. Well, are we going to take the correction or not? Well, you're here, so. But people need to begin to take that correction. Well, I think I'll just ride on the outside. Well, it's not good enough. Now, I know right now there are people who watch us. You watch us all the time. My advice is if you can, find a local church that believes the truth. But if you can't, stay tuned and stay a part of this. And hey, make a pilgrimage here. Come up here sometime to see us, wherever you are. Connect with us. Give to the ministry. Don't just be out there by yourself and just keep clicking through there. Well, let's see who this one says and what this one says. And this. You need to be rooted and grounded somewhere. Amen. Well, you believe that because you're a pastor. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote this stuff, Amen. Not the Pastor Paul. Amen. So I know that the Holy Ghost wants that. So we're called to do both. Evangelists, traveling ministries, they all have local churches. They all have pastors. Amen. So you stay connected to the body and you endeavor to keep as one. Now, that's kind of moving into my point, but we're going to go a little further here. Verse 7, but to each of us, Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. This is about when he died and rose from the dead, okay? Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping. Say equipping. So he gave what we call the fivefold ministry to equip the saints. You believe that? You believe this word? So he gave fivefold ministry to equip the saints for the what? So to make money? No, for the work of the ministry. To equip them for the work of the ministry. Yep, Jesse already told you how to get money. Give. Praise the Lord. So for the edifying, listen, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Understand, the equipping of the saints it's the start, not the goal. Are you with me? That's the start. The equipping of the saints is the start of it. Till we all come into unity of the faith, of the what? Of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the goal is unity, and it is unity of the faith, not unity of the doctrine. Church, every doctrine, every body, the Catholics started with a revelation. Then Luther came with a revelation, and there were Lutherans. And then the Wesleys came along with revelation, and they were Methodists. The Pentecostals came up with oneness, and everybody's like, huh? There is a truth in that. They just went to the one side, just like everybody has, to this side of the ditch. Amen. There's a truth. God is one God. We just read it. But he is the Trinity. He is Father. You don't have to pick one. Amen. But they had revelation. The Assemblies of God had a revelation. The Baptists have a revelation. So everybody had a revelation, and then along the way, religion gets added to it. We're endeavoring not to do that. Amen. And I'm sure we've gone to the ditch ourselves from time to time, but we're endeavoring not to. Amen. So it says unto a perfect man. So the apostle compares their condition to the state of childhood. The perfect man here is a grown up. Okay. He's mature. And this said that he appointed pastors and teachers so that the infant church might come into maturity. Okay. That's what's going on here. So like a man. So he does not refer here. Here's something else you need to see. To a doctrine of sinless perfection. Ain't gonna happen. You can do good. But you know, you don't get up every day saying, I think I'll make 3 mistakes today. But you do sometimes. You do make mistakes sometimes. And so, this is talking about you growing up, becoming mature. The church itself becoming mature. And so that you come into this place where you have some strength. You don't just crumble. You didn't just crumble over COVID. You don't just crumble and your life is over when someone passes that you love. Because you have strength, you have vigor, you have wisdom. We become strong and we walk in that wisdom when we endeavor to walk in our calling. To be one in the Spirit. Well, you know, Pastor, I just want you to talk about, I don't want to hear this. I just want to talk about, you know, that we're going to have extraordinary things happen. I'm telling you how to have it. Take the correction if you have to. Take it. Not just go, well, you know, I won't have to hear this again as soon as I get out of here. But I tell you, This is written in the Bible. Now, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. By speaking the truth in love, may all grow up in the things into him who is the head. You know, when you were a baby, you'd go and you'd listen to someone and it was against what you'd learned in your mainstream. And you were like, is this true? But then when you started growing up in the Word, it was real easy to go, that isn't right. That isn't right. I mean, I've sat in some church services and under my breath went, mm-mm. Mm-mm. Especially when they say, God caused that person to be sick. I'm like, mm-mm. That is not Bible. Praise the Lord. Things like that. So we always talk now listen to this. I want you to get this verse here. Verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplies, right? Joint, you're a joint and you supply. Amen. Okay. According to the effect of working, where we got that out of Ephesians 3:20 a while ago, working, right? Part does it share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself. So you got the fivefold ministry helping grow. Come on. Yeah. But then we see from whom the whole body joined and knit together. This teaching is joining us more together today. Yeah. And then every joint supplies, that's all of us, to the effect of working which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, we always talk about making supply. Most of the time we talk about when you make your supply, we're talking about pulling on the anointing, okay? We're talking about pulling on the anointing, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so pulling on the anointing or praying, you're making your supply during the service. When you worship, you make your supply in here. You know, if 10 of us do it and the rest of you just stand there, you're not making your supply. But when you make your supply, you're actually answering your call.
Oh boy, that's good.
When you worship, you're answering your call. When you, you know, well, we don't care if you can sing good, just sing quieter. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Make a joyful noise. So, but you make your supply, pray, praise, sing, worship. Listen intently and amen. Amen. Laugh at my jokes. Praise the Lord. That's making supply. Just kidding. So, we as the joints make even more supply, and it's our calling. This is our calling more than just what I just said, I'm going to tell you, okay? All of those things I just said about making supply is what we do. We endeavor to walk in love and unity. That's our call. That's our call. Church, if you haven't picked up on what I'm trying to do right now, I'm attempting to prepare you to help young Christians. There's those of you here who brought a friend. And you're helping take care of them spiritually. There are people who aren't here that you help take care of. Amen. You say things to them. So I'm attempting to do that along with grow us up here together corporately. Praise the Lord. So I hope you're getting that. So we endeavor to stay connected and become one. There is one God, one body, and there are local bodies, and you are called to a local body. Amen. So you walk worthy of your calling, here it is, by staying in unity. Stay in unity. Let's say that you don't like what I'm saying today, and you're trying real hard to ignore me. Well, you can do whatever you want to. But just stay in unity. Well, I don't believe that. I'm never coming back again.
Well.
but stay in unity with the body. Amen. There are people all over this community with it that we talk to and pray with, and we don't believe the stuff they believe, but we're staying in unity with them.
Amen.
Yeah, somebody just said it. One day we will. Now, the charismatics, they may disagree, and they'll see each other out on the street, and they'll cross the street just not to run into each other because they disagree. But when they pray in the Spirit, they're in agreement. Okay, so you walk worthy of your calling by staying in unity. And the one thing, here's the one thing, people miss it, they just say love, okay? But here's what that scripture said. It's the bond of peace. Just stay at peace with people. Okay. Let's just be nothing missing, nothing broken. Hello, brother. I love you. You know, just stay in peace. That's the bond. That's the bond. You don't have to break up because, you know, you don't wear a bun or something. You don't have to break up because you don't believe in this or that. Now, I can't help what the other churches do, but I can help what we do.
Amen.
Amen. We can stay in this bond of peace. Amen. Now, it is important to observe, once again, that the unity of the Spirit is not a similarity of sentiment.
Yeah.
Church, get over this thing of there's nobody there like me. That is exactly why you need to be here. Because we all need to be different. People here are on all different financial levels. There are people here that are on all different spiritual levels, scriptural levels. But that should not keep us apart. Or go, well, I need to go where there's more rich people. Or I need to go where there's poorer people. Or I need to go where there's people who wear more cowboy boots. I don't know if you could do that. We all do that here. But what I need someone, you know, whatever. No, you need covenant. Covenant people choose people because they are different.
Yes.
It is my weakness and your strength that makes us whole. It is your weakness and my strength that makes us whole. I don't know what you know. You don't know what I know, but together we've got it. That's what covenant relationship is about. So we don't need to try to be alike. We just need to keep the bond of peace.
Right.
Well, Liz thinks the scripture means this, and I don't. Well, so what? Go ahead and believe what you believe. Yeah, but you know, what if pastor doesn't agree with me? Well, pretty soon you'll finally will agree with me. And then, no, I'm kidding. No, the point is that we don't break up over it. Church, you're going to want to hold on for what's coming. There's stuff coming down the spiritual pike. You can see it coming down the U.S. pike and Canada and Israel and Mexico. You can see it coming on in the world. And people will have to be blind not to see it coming on. But I'm telling you, there are people who don't see what's coming on in the spirit because there is a holy breakthrough. There is something happening in the realm. I told the group this morning, it's my third time to tell it, but this morning I was driving in and, I said, Lord, why did some of this stuff take so long? And he said, well, there's just now enough of us. And I was like, oh, now wait a minute, Abraham 10. Okay. Help me with this, Lord. And he said, well, look at strongholds. Strongholds are built by schools of thought. And so the enemy goes in. And he just propagates. Soften about this. Soften about that. Okay, don't make waves, church. You need to love people. And that gets covered. Then truth gets covered up there instead of saying what we believe. And then people start wanting to be relevant so that they can be seeker friendly. They do. And so then things move on and move on. And pretty soon in America, you have a morality issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, yes. And you have sex trafficking, right here in the greatest country in the world. You, and I could go on and on with the list. I'm not going to. You all know it all. But then you have all this. And so you have these strongholds. And you have people believing or with their head in the sand. Either these things are right or we don't care if they're right or head in the sand. And but what the Lord told me, he said, the church has been asleep. And the church is now waking up and using their voice. And what I've been, this is what the Lord told me, what I've been waiting for is this. One of us can put 1,000 to flight. But two of us can put 10,000 to flight. So when me and you woke up, we're now worth 10,000 and we've gotten up above the level of that stronghold and putting it out.
Amen.
Well, couldn't God put it out anyway? He works through men. And he needed to wake us up. And he's about to lay a big hand because we've been speaking it. Justice is in the earth. The Mordecai card is being played. For such a time as this. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to say something about peace here as we close. Peace does not mean that you pay peace at any price. It's not about peace at any price. Well, I'll just go ahead and take this and I'll just be whooped and I'll just be, you know, I know I'm supposed to be submissive. So, or I'll just be, because, and listen, I think we've all been guilty of this because we know that that person that we get in arguments with, they're going to end up coming back and jabbing you. So just to avoid the jab, not that jab, the jab or the painful thing that they'll sneak back around and poke you with, you just stop. Well, I'm not going to say another word because even if I do, that person's just going to come back and slam me, but that's peace at any price. And then you lull yourself into being this person where even the other person in your life doesn't even realize that they're dominating you. On the other side of that, stop the argument with a no, that you're not going to have to argue. And you should be able to find that line where you're like, okay, that's okay. You can say, I disagree, but that's okay. Let's just move on. Right? And you have to go, I'm not talking to them anymore. I used to go to lunch with them. I'm not going to go anymore because I don't believe a thing they say. And they're always smarting off. And keep the peace. But then you have a right to your beliefs. Amen. Does that help you? Don't pay peace at any price, but come with the bond of peace. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we talk about this again later. It might get too heated right now. Amen. Here's what I'm getting to. Church, if you didn't hear anything I said, hear this. Strife stops every gift of the Spirit. It'll stop it in the church. It'll stop it at your house. It'll stop it in a relationship. It stops the flow of love. It stops everything. Strife cannot be tolerated in the church. Amen. Strife cannot be tolerated. So you even need to get the little bantering out.
Okay. I got you.
This chair's blue. It's gray. Well, it says on the back that it's blue. It's gray! Well, we bought it in May of 2005. Not these. They're a little newer than that. But no, we didn't. It was 2006. Okay, well, the tag says it's 2005. It's 2006. I'm telling you, it's 2006. Turn right at the next corner. I've been here. I know where the church is. Turn right over here. Well, let me look on my GPS because you probably don't know. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. It's been just disagreeable and not trusting anything anybody says. It gets really old. That's what makes people want to vomitos. Amen. Strife is out. One more thing. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a biggie because your faith will not work if you're in unforgiveness. Jesus said so in Mark 11, didn't he? He said you can move a mountain if you'll believe you receive what you say and you do not doubt in your heart and you forgive. It's not that Father hasn't forgiven you. You just can't get that. You can't receive and stay in that flow. If you have something in the way, you can't get what you're looking for. It'll stop everything. Now, when you see that person on the street, I really was clearing my throat. And you feel that thing rise up. Don't y'all know, you know? And you're going, That's just your feelings. And you can say to yourself and to Holy Spirit, I have already made a quality decision to forgive them. And devil, you're not getting in.
Amen.
And but with the bond of peace, you can walk up and say, how you doing? Yeah. That doesn't mean you need to bring them back into your circle. You can love them from a little bit of a distance. Yes. If it's a wolf, you want to keep them past the fifth circle.
Right?
Right? If it's someone who's harmed you, you want to keep them out there. But it doesn't mean you can't walk in the bond of peace.
Right.
Now, this is your calling.
Right.
I see y'all have received it. This is our calling to walk in love, to walk in peace, to walk in this community that way. I don't have nothing to do with them. They think God's killing them with cancer. That's a lie. We know that's a lie. But how are you going to help them if you won't have anything to do with them?
Exactly.
Oh my goodness, Democrats are moving in. Sorry if you're a Democrat. How about that we just pray for each other and believe for the best, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Sorry about that, guys. See, but I have the bond of peace with you, whether you're a whatever you are. Slips out sometimes. But that, I mean, see, watch where you're putting that stop gate. Yes. And certainly don't let anybody run you off.
Right.
Amen. Just do what God says.
Right.
Just do what God says. Amen. You won't mess up. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It is. This is big. It is important. If we want extraordinary, unusual, supernatural, you better keep strife away from you. And you better walk in forgiveness. And when I say you better, I'm just saying that to you as your friend. I'm not talking about I'm not trying to command you. I'm trying to lead you that don't let anything stop what's about to happen.
Right.
Don't let any, and when you got, well, I can't believe whatever her name is and blah, you know, just keep the bond of peace around you and let God do it. If you were a big prophet, you might say different things. But you're the prophet of your own life, and you can let the big L judgment and let the prophets say what they need to say, and you can just pray for everybody's soul. Amen. You receive this today? Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that we can walk in the bond of peace. We don't have to believe whatever the folks here don't have to believe what I say if they don't want to. But the thing we do need to do is walk in the bond of peace. This is our calling. This is our calling. You said that they would know us by our love. And so we're going to walk in love no matter what. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name.